Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of those cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holla.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, March 5th, 2014. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Coming to you a little late tonight. I don't know how many people are just, you know, pacing in front of their computer waiting for me to come on or whatnot. So I don't know how much difference it makes. Either way, doing the show, as I even posted earlier tonight, it's going to be a short one. Going to do about an hour, maybe a little over an hour, because I just don't have that much to talk about, one. And two, I actually, which doesn't really work into play at this time, but I got the new South Park game. I wanted to play a little bit more of that tonight. So, I kind of dropped an hour of my time already, so I don't even know if that's going to help me out. But anyway, I figure I'll start off and ramble and rant and rave about a few things, and then I'll go from there. But definitely what I'm going to do tonight, and I've been saying I'm going to do it for a while, and I haven't, is I'm going to play a couple things from other shows, other podcasts that I listen to that I like very much, one of which I'm going to play later on is, I actually have two clips from Corolla, and then Jim Florentine as well, a bit that I like quite a bit from that. I'll probably close out the show with that because that one's almost a half hour long. So, like I said, I'll add a little more time to a show that otherwise will be pretty short and to the point anyway. And, it'll be good content. It'll be entertaining, even if it isn't, technically me doing the entertaining, more or less passing along something that, I found funny and entertaining to other people. And it's, to none of my own gain, just more or less to pass it along. And, maybe you guys tune into those shows. Doesn't really do me any difference whether you do or don't, but at least you'll find it entertaining, or hopefully. All right. So anyway, tonight, for those, you know, who've been listening, you know, I'm without a vehicle. The truck's fucking motor died or whatever, you know, randomly. Just decided it didn't want to live with that fucking vehicle anymore. And, you know, so it's been fucked up, finding rides left and right, and not being able to get to the gym, which is where I get rid of all the fucking tension and frustration and anger that I have, you know, in the most positive way possible, and able to, you know, hit some pretty good, you know, gains and all of that, because, yeah, the if you're able to release your stuff that way, rather than, you know, relying on demons or whatever the case is, you get pretty far pretty quick. You can push yourself actually pretty, pretty hard. I've gone over that in the past, too, that I feel like, you know, people with addictions and stuff like that, and I do, you know, consider myself in that realm because, you know, alcoholism is an addiction. You know, I'm straight with it. I haven't had any issues or anything like that. I really don't have the temptation. I've definitely switched my focus, but, you know, my thing, just to go back to it real quick, is people who have addictions, they will sacrifice everything. No matter what it is, they'll sacrifice, you know, I mean, their job, their family, their money, anything in order to sustain the addiction. So in that light, people with addictions, you know, and over a broad spectrum, people with addictions have a very, very strong willpower. And I know that sounds weird to hear because, obviously, you know, they're portrayed as weaker people for the most part, because falling, you know, victim to these addictions and these substances, whatever the substance may be, you sacrifice all those things that really matter in life. And you just kind of bury yourself with that one thing that you find comfort in, whether, you know, whatever that may be. The reason you'll find that it is actually a strong willpower is if you, and it's the most difficult thing to do, but if you can switch your focus from that demon, that substance, that whatever it is that you're drawn towards, and focus it in a physical direction, the willpower that you have in that direction will be stronger than your average person who just picks something up and decides whether they feel like doing it or not. Because, like I said, that's the same mentality that will, you know, you put aside everything you have to do to focus on the goal at hand and the task at hand. And if you are able to do that in the physical realm, you can really, really do some things. I'm not sure if, you know, he made it up or whatever. I'm sure other people have said it before, but those who know, you know, Buffy from the Christopher Street Connection, he goes as Cyberbully, Edwin Crespo. He's a personal trainer. And one of the things he always posts is training is selfish. And that's about the truest shit that the dude has posted online. You know, he says a lot of crazy shit, but come on the show for a while because he is a very entertaining and outspoken dude, but he hasn't taken me up on the app. But either way, training is selfish, and the reason why I feel that is absolutely true is the same thing I was saying as far as the addictions. If you're able to focus on it, you put everything else aside. You know, the everything else comes secondary when it comes to the training, because you have to focus on that as if nothing else matters. And that's that addiction mentality. So anyway, haven't been able to get to the gym. So more or less my, you know, my craving there hasn't been able to be satisfied much. And then, you know, with the, let me see, Jesus Christ. With the temperatures the way that they are, it doesn't make it very easy to, you know, to go running or to do much of that type of stuff. I was trying to find a Zandig clip, and it just didn't happen. And now, just, yeah. So anyway, you know, normally I would like to, you know, step up my game on running and do more of that, but with the fucking temperatures drop so low, it just fucking blows. And you know, the other day I was able to go out, do some battle ropes, did a lot of that for, I mean, the better part of an hour, switching off from battle ropes to, you know, dumbbell curls, I got like a couple 40s, a couple 25s up just outside, just curling the dumbbells, doing that type of thing, battle ropes, shadow boxing, the whole thing, and just did it until I was like, all right, I'm fucking, you know, pretty beat. So, and definitely felt it off of that. Got some new shoes, too, that I'm looking forward to trying out for running. Got those Reebok Z-Quicks you see on the commercial, motherfuckers running through the city and shit. So they seem pretty good. Weird, I don't know if the Reebok Corporation was bought out by the NBA or what exactly happened, but it seemed like the shoe sizes completely changed. I ran all my mud races last year in size 12s, and they were fit completely perfectly fine, you know. Foot went into mud, came out, still had a fucking shoe on it. So there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, give to them and stuff. They were perfect. I ordered the same type of shoes, the Reebok Zigtech, and I got those, but I got them in like the trail running version, you know what I mean? So they got a little more spike to the bottom, a little more tread to them, just because, you know, they're going to be in those type of conditions. So I figured it only helped me out with the mud races, even though I did great with the just normal Reebok Zigtech. And little by little, I'm learning more and more because, you know, Reebok is definitely not the king of running shoes by any stretch, but it's just what's worked for me so far, and I'm such an amateur at all this shit that, you know, I'm just sticking with what works and then trying to, you know, step up here and there and try out things as I go. So anyway, I order, you know, size 12 of those. I get them. They're fucking huge. Well, what the fuck? So I send them back, get an 11 and a half, and I'm like, all right, so that's what I got. And it's got a little give to it still. It's still, and I'm going to, you know, lace them up real tight and see what happens with them. But I don't know. It's a weird feeling. It's like I know my fucking foot didn't change. I don't know if they just overhauled their whole sizing chart or what the case is. Strange. But yeah, thank God for those battle ropes, man, because I was able to really go out there. Those things will blow you up. If you haven't tried fucking with those before, I definitely highly recommend battle ropes. I've had them for a minute. Haven't played with them too much since I stepped my shit up and, you know, started hitting the gym more and more. That's the problem with me, is I'm not able to focus on all these things that I want to do at once. Like the DDP yoga will get me motivated to go do some other shit, and then I'll stop doing that. Or this or that. Or the running, you know, I'll go hard on the running, but then I'll fall off of, you know, the gym a little bit. And then I'll go heavy in the gym and fall off the running. I really got to find a way to just meld all this shit together, and I'll be fucking unstoppable. But, you know, depending on the day, doing little bits of this and little bits of that. And, you know, definitely, you know, bringing it all together. And I'm beyond fucking hyped for these races. You know, April's the first one. I'm signed up for that one already. I think it's Pemberton. Never done that one before. And I signed up for the two big joints. The, you know, the Tough Mudder in October, which is the finale for me. And, as I've said before, my goal is to do two laps around the Tough Mudder. So that's, you know, 12 miles times two. You're talking 24 miles. I'm trying to do that shit consecutive, like, wow, it's the second fucking lap. Go back to the start. You know, that type of shit. That's my ultimate goal right there. September is the Super Spartan race, which is another, like, you know, what have you, like 10 to 12 mile type shit. So I'm going to do the Super Spartan in September, Tough Mudder to close out in October, and another five mud races before those shit. So first one being in April. I got two in June. I'm actually working one Saturday out of June, and then they took the other three off. I got Tournament of Death 1 week. And two weeks in a row, I got mud races. So June is all locked up for me. I'm going heavy on that shit. Like I was saying, the battle ropes really fucking, they blow your shit up, man. Like, your heart's fucking beating out of your chest. You know, and I'm good with the treadmill and running and this and this. And but, yeah, that shit, you know, some serious cardio type shit. And definitely works a whole lot of different things. I'm no personal trainer. I'm not going to get down to it, but I know you sore as shit. If you go heavy on those for a while, a couple different things you could do with them, just Google that shit, look it up on YouTube or whatever, and you'll see all the, you know, various exercises you can do with battle ropes. I got mine from Onnit. I know they're heavily priced on a lot of things, so, you know, I just kind of went that way. And the ropes they got, they're like that, like plastic thread stuff, so they don't, like, wear and just up real quick. So, yeah, you know, they're, I don't know. I forget what the hell that is, poly, whatever the fuck. But, yeah, they're badass, so they can hold up to things. And I got the longer ones and the thicker ones, so they're like, fuck. I don't know the specifics of any of that, but they're black and yellow, these dub ropes. And, yeah, they're the thicker and the longer ones that they sell out of the, you know, the options you get. But you could probably get them cheaper somewhere else or something like that, and I just highly recommend them. They're badass. I've been watching a whole shitload of C.T. Fletcher shit. That dude is about the most motivational dude you'll ever see. I love his fucking, his attitude on things and just overall. The dude was like the world champion, you know, weightlifting shit. Like he did all sorts of shit. I don't have all the specifics in front of me, but the dude is no bullshit. He's 50 something years old now and just still beasting out. He had heart surgeries to the point where they said, like, you keep up with this powerlifting shit, like you could just die. And he said he liked that shit. He liked the idea that he could die doing what he loved and shit like this. So yeah, that dude's on point. I've been, you know, playing around a little bit with the pre-workouts. I like the, yeah, I've been doing those for a while. But over time, I found a lot more that I didn't like than I did like. The C4, that's go-to shit right there. Like, that's pretty much a good, consistent one to do. But you should really switch off. Everybody I talk to says you should switch off. So you should do, like, you know, go through a container of that and then switch off to something else. So I think I tried, like, the 1MR. I didn't try it yet, but I did order it. And I'm going to see how that does and then switch back to the C4 again. Did a couple of the things of the NCG Nitro that they used to sell, and I don't even know that they sell it much anymore. I think they got it on Amazon somewhere. That shit was scary. Like, you'd take that shit and you'd feel fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But, you know, that's another good one. But they don't really sell it that openly anymore, so I don't know what's what with that. But, like, that Mr. Hyde shit didn't like that. The Animal Raid shit didn't really like it too much. It was all right, but it makes you feel a little nauseous and shit. Like, it's hard to, you know, keep down, I guess. You know, I never, like, threw up off it or nothing, but, you know, going into the gym, you feel just, like, a little uneasy and shit, and you don't want to do that because you want to feel charged up and be able to just go full force, not worried about it. What other one? Oh, the Muscle Farm one is good, but the bad thing about that is where normally, you know, those scoops that you put in your drink is, you know, the amount of powder that it actually calls for on a C4 or on any of those other ones I was mentioning is a small amount of powder. With the Muscle Farm, it's more powder. Like, the what it tells you to take calls for these big-ass scoops. So it's a real thick drink where, you know, normally you mix your pre-workout, and you could see some kind of watery consistency to it. Like, I had the watermelon Muscle Farm shit, and that shit was like a fucking bold-ass pink. Like, you ain't seeing shit through that. Like, and that's, like, without, like, up-dosing or anything. Like, just that shit was fucking heavy. So, again, a little bit harder to, like, stomach and shit because it's a thick-ass drink. Like, there's no watery consistency to it. It was a straight-up fucking potent. It worked. It worked well, but I don't really like it that potent. You know what I mean? So, and that was my complaint there. I was thinking about it, and I thought about it for a while. It's fucking crazy that I realized that, like, years ago, actually, and at the time, I wasn't even, I wish it was, I don't know if it would have been beneficial to me or not. I tend to think that it would be, because I looked for it, and obviously it's become completely illegal at this point. But Androstene, there were sublinguals, which is like you put like a tablet under your tongue, And this was, man, this must have been at least 10 years ago, longer. Must have been 12 years ago, 13 years ago, some shit like that, and maybe 15. And on Rob Van Dam's website, he would sell a shitload of supplements, one of them being, and I got that shit off of there, and fucking shit, man, this stuff was intense. This shit was intense, man. It had your shit fucking tweaked, man. You would take that shit, and I mean, me and my dudes used to play basketball on that shit. Be like, yo, put one of these under your tongue and shit. We were running up and down the fucking court like maniacs. Fucking, yeah, we were retards. We were fucking smoking blunts before we played a game and put one of those shits under our tongue, fucking running around all blasted. Shit was fucking crazy. And I remember the one time, the craziest shit that I had with that was I was actually doing, you know, some, like, arm workout stuff in my room at the time. I had taken that, and I was doing some curls, and my girl had, like, some kind of severe, like asthma attack or migraine or some kind of shit where she had to get an ambulance and go to the hospital. And they come pick her up, and they get me in the front seat. So I'm rolling with them, and it's raining out, and I'm all speeded up on this fucking Androstene. You know, she's in the back, and we're fucking flying down the parkway, and I'm fucking tweaked. And the cars are just parting, like, this shit was bugged me the fuck out, because it's raining, and we're just fucking siren going, fucking all that, and the cars are just moving out of the way, like, it's just parting the Red Sea and shit, and fucking, I couldn't have been more blasted on this fucking Androstene at the time. It was crazy as shit. So, yeah, I never really got it. I never really had it at a time where I was, you know, going real, real heavy with any type of regimen or anything. But I was just, like, fucking around with it. I would just, like, all right, just fucking, you know, do some fucking curls. So I'd take that. Oh, I'm going to play some basketball. I'll fucking take that. You know what I mean? Like, just dumb shit. But, yeah, I kind of wonder, like, what I could have done with that if I was actually taking some kind of workout seriously, because that shit was intense. Wow, like, none of these pre-workouts or anything like that. That was some other shit. But, yeah, and it's just funny, too, is a wrestling tie-in that, you know, was on Rob Van Dam's website. So, definitely going to talk more about C.T. Fletcher and yeah, more of that stuff. I'm actually, next week I'll be having on Luke Hawks, and he actually got a chance to train with C.T. Fletcher. So I'm going to talk to him about that as well as many, many other things. The dude had such a, you know, very different career from where he started as, you know, altar boy Luke, taking it to now where he's, you know, just jacked up dude, fucking Luke Hawks, the Southern Stomper, and, you know, he's killing it. So, yeah, I got a lot to talk to him about. I'm going to play my first clip right now. Like I said, these are fucking long clips. I'm actually filling the show up with clips the past time. But anyway, here's a C.T. Fletcher joint. This is about 7 minutes of him talking shit and, you know, a lot of what he's about. So I'm going to play this, come back, talk some more about some other things.
Know every motherfucking thing, everything. You know every motherfucking thing about being yoked, except how to do it. You know all the motherfucking details. You know every motherfucking part of the car, but you can't put that motherfucking together. You don't know how to put the shit together. Your motherfucking car in pieces. You know every motherfucking part. Everything, every motherfucking muscle, every capillary, every motherfucking thing about every motherfucking thing, except how to be yoked. They figured out every motherfucking macros and fucking all, every scientific angle. You know about these motherfuckers know it all. They done examined motherfuckers in microscopic terms and break it down in microscopic, tiny, dimensional terms of your motherfucking ass. But they still look like a fucking scarecrow. So explain that to me. That's what I don't understand. You know every fucking thing, but your ass still looks fucked up. How did that happen? Come on, Calvin Watt. Show me that testicular fortitude they got down there in Maryland. Got a bad case of bad motherfucker syndrome. Just a bad motherfucker.
Everybody know how to wiggle their toes. Everybody knows how to wiggle their fingers.
Before you can wiggle your fingers and toes, your mind must tell them to wiggle. Your mind is in control of your motherfucking physical action. Isaac Newton didn't tell me that motherfucking shit. I figured that out on my goddamn motherfucking mouth. That's how many. How many do I do? Are you the slowest motherfucker on the planet yet? No. Well, if you're not the slowest motherfucker on the planet, you got some more reps to do, son. Keep working. Don't stop until you're the biggest sidewalk cracking motherfucker there is. Yeah. Never be satisfied. Yeah. There's never enough, goddammit. Yeah. When will my set be over? Your motherfucking set will never be over. Never ending set. No matter what you do, it's still your motherfucking set. I've been doing this shit for 30 years, and it's still my motherfucking set. So if you got under 30 years in this shit, it's still your motherfucking set. On the way up, and 210 on the way down, that's 420 goddamn reps. That's a motherfucking marathon. Rain down pain. Rain down pain on their motherfucking ass. Merciless, relentless, attack, assault, abuse them motherfucking arms. This ain't for no weak-hearted, wet noodle ass, Captain Crunch eating motherfuckers like you. That's insane, CT. 410 reps on the bench? That's fucking crazy. You goddamn right it's crazy. I don't want to be like you, but your mind tells them what to do. Now, if you can control your motherfucking mind, you can control your motherfucking muscles. Command them motherfuckers to grow. I'm in charge. I'm going to wiggle my motherfucking bicep. Wiggle my goddamn triceps, because I told them motherfuckers to wiggle. You set a limitation up here, you have already set the limitation right here. If up here told you that this can't get no bigger, guess what, motherfucker? It ain't gonna get no goddamn bigger. But if your mind tells you you can do any goddamn thing, then goddamn it, you can do it. Get this motherfucker under control. I know you motherfuckers gonna be out there talking about my form. Oh, he don't go all the way down, he don't go all the way up. Yes, motherfucker, you are correct. I don't. It's a little something I like to do myself. When I started bodybuilding training, to keep tension on the muscle at all times, never lock out. As soon as you lock out, it takes the tension off the muscle. Never lock out, keep constant tension. Talked to me a long time ago for a motherfucker older and smarter than me. So yeah, you goddamn right. I can lock out anything, my fucking elbow won't allow me to. But, you gonna be talking shit, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get your punk ass down to the gym and then do it like I do. Just do it the same fucking way. Use the same fucked up form I use, same fucked up technique I use. Just do it that motherfucking way. See if you can do it any kind of way, motherfucker. For the mental problems, because I talk to my shit, B. They think I'm crazy. They sitting on the motherfucking couch. Motherfucking arms ain't getting no bigger. And they fucking... Only thing working is that goddamn thumb on the remote. But I'm a fucking fool for talking to my bicep. You the fucking fool for not talking to yours. I want to be me, goddammit. I don't want to be you. I don't even want to be a copy of you. I don't want to look nothing like your motherfucking ass. I want to be me, a unique individual. One of a motherfucking kind, goddammit. And make me and break the motherfucking mold and throw that motherfucker away. Ain't no more. Ain't no more, goddammit.
I'm the last of my time. And I stepped back and I looked in the mirror and I said, I need a little more right here. And a little more right here. And I went into the gym and I carved that little more out of motherfucking hard work. How the fuck expect, you know, explain that to me. How the fuck did that happen? Because you're a motherfucking expert. You know everything about being yoked and your ass is fucked up. Explain that to me. That's what I don't understand. You figured out everything else, but you ain't figured out how to motherfucking make yourself look any goddamn better. All you figured out how to do is talk shit. Tyler Watts came in here, worked out for a motherfucking hour and a half straight. Didn't take a motherfucking break, didn't ask for no mercy, didn't cry, didn't shed no motherfucking tears. Brought his ass in here, put in the work, didn't say, and shut the fuck up and worked out. I can't say nothing. Hey, if you do that, you can set me the fuck up. But until you do that, how about you set the fuck up for a change?
Yeah, that's that dude right there. That's the shit I'm talking about, man. He's no bullshit. I mean, this guy's the fucking real deal. So anyway, what I was saying with the car. So the truck fucking engine's fucked up. So then we'll actually rewind a little bit. I get home. I ordered a glass canopy, new glass canopy for one of my 2 46-gallon fish tanks for the South American one. I got the South American cichlids, and then I got the African cichlids in the other one. The South American tank, they're pretty much the same tanks, both of the same tanks. The South American tank, I had actually gotten, just somebody just had it out, and they were selling it like $40, some old dumb cheap shit, like right up the road. So I guess it was their father's tank, and he was going to retirement home or wherever the fuck. So years ago, I got that tank. The other one I bought new, so obviously crystal clear. On the top, where it hinges up, where you would open the thing, that part is snapped, so it's like the plastic part in between two pieces of glass. That part's snapped. That's not as big of a deal. The glass is real milky, like from like the calcium over time, and I've tried to scrape it and shit with the razor blade, and it won't really come clean, so the light doesn't shine through it as good, and it takes away from, I got the LED lights on the top and inside the tank, but it takes away from the light that can go through the glass because, it's got like a foggy on the glass. Glass is foggy no matter how hard you clean it and shit. So I ordered a new glass canopy for the tank. So I'm like, I'm really excited. I'm like, awesome, this tank's going to light the fuck up. Awesome, I get it today. This shit comes in a box that's the size of a fucking nightstand. And so I'm like, man, they protected the shit out of this. So I open up the box, and I'm like, oh, man, this is good, man. This has got nothing but bubble wrap in there and everything else. And, takes me forever to even get it out of the box. Fucking finally get it out of the box and wrap it for even more bubble wrap. Open the little container it's in, make it shatter like a motherfucker. Shit is spider web. I'm like, oh, fuck. So now I got this box the size of a fucking nightstand in my room, in the middle of my fucking room. It's just like a coffee table, and but taller. And so now I got to get this shit sent back so I could get them to hopefully send another one and, because it ain't through Amazon, so I can't just, print the shit out. I emailed them and fucking have them get back to me and all this bullshit. So I could try to send this shit back and try to have them send me another fucking one. So there's some old bullshit here. So then we had a guy come over to check out the truck to see what's up. Because then apparently he had found somebody who had an engine, a used engine, same type of shit that we need over here. That's got like 60,000 miles on it or whatever. So he gives us the whole breakdown, the engine, the work, the this, the that, fucking $2,500. Oh, fuck. So, like $4,500 for the fucking truck in October and fucking $2,500 for the motherfucker in March. So, and that's the motherfucker right there because it's not like, I just straight off the bat was going to buy a truck that was, pretty much $7,000. oh, I bought one that was $4,500 and then put another fucking $2,500 into it less than 6 months later. That's a motherfucking man. And it's supposed to, obviously extend the shit out of the life of this bitch, but in the same token, goddammit, that's a little too fucking soon. And, now we're talking about, they'll pick it up Friday, got to put down fucking most of that shit, and then, fucking cash, and then, fucking hopefully by Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll have the motherfucking pay off the rest of it fucking Tuesday, Wednesday. So $2,500, bang. That shit just pissed me right the fuck off. So it is what it is, man. But, with all that shit, yeah, it's just pretty irritating. Like I said, bunch of breaks tonight, so, talk a little more. I'm going to go back to another fucking break and make some people laugh. So this one, I'm going to take another break here. And this is, let me do this one. This is Joe Coy on the Adam Carolla podcast. And what he did is he wanted Joe Coy to do the backup singing and, singing over the track. Yeah, they pretty much explained it in there, so I ain't going to go too crazy. But I played the David Alan Greer one where he did Teddy Pendergrass before, and one of the ones, and I actually have another one of those loaded up too that I may do tonight, maybe not. He did Float On by the Floaters, and this is Joe Coy doing his character there. I think this shit's hilarious, so check this out.
I just thought if the Floaters had one Asian-American band member, just one. Can we just hear the tone?
All right, everybody. Thank you for coming tonight. We are the Floaters.
Floaters.
It's one of our favorite songs that we like to sing to all the beautiful women out there. It's called Float On.
Float On.
Float On.
Right, they're the Floaters.
I'm Bing Long Hao. I'm the lead singer of the group.
Well, you're in the... Everyone's...
Aquarius. Oh, yeah. Aquarius.
Libra. Leo.
Rooster.
Rooster.
Yeah.
No,
in my country, we are roosters.
Charles.
You might write me. I'm single.
What's your name again?
I'm 5'1". Bangloso.
Bangloso and a rooster?
I'm a rooster.
No, no, that's Charles.
On the
He's
Chinese
Aquarius.
Calendar.
Yeah. No.
I'm a rooster.
Yeah, but...
To all the single ladies out there.
Mm-hmm. No, what...
If you like the Frodas...
Hold on.
Froda.
Chung-la? Chung-la? Hold on, we're looking for a little diversity here.
We're walking down the alley.
Where?
And I hear your stomach growling.
No.
And I say to you,
that's
are
not,
you hungry?
That's not sexy talk.
I know a Chinese restaurant right down the street.
Chung-la?
Hook me up with everything. I can get a booth at any time.
What?
P.F. Chang.
Oh, no.
Do you like a P.F. Chang?
No. Chung-wa.
If you don't understand me, there's subtitles underneath my chin.
Yeah, well, hold on.
You can read what I say. Read what I sing.
We brought you into this group to add a little diversity.
I am the rooster.
No, we need a zodiac sign.
Rooster.
No.
Chinese calendar.
Nobody's going to check.
Bang Lo Su.
No, these guys name like...
I'm 5'1".
Ooh.
Full head of hair.
No.
I love to play Pai Gao all day. All night with flip flop on.
Is it Chung Wag?
Banglo Su.
Banglo. Banglo. What? See, we have guys like. We have a guy like Chester and he's Aquarius, you know what I mean?
You know, girl, I have a little tiny ball.
See, with this is. No, when I said sexy talk,
I have
when
a small
I said hot
penis,
talk.
It don't hurt as much as the brat guy in the group.
No, they're all black guys.
The cool thing about an Asian guy, you never see us coming.
No, but, I'm going to write your name down. Bong Choi. Bong Chao.
Bong Do Do A, Chi Do A, Chi.
Yeah, so.
A Do Dong Do Da.
Like the guys, all the guys have a name.
Yes.
Like a name that we know.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And yes. Then they have a sign.
Yes.
Yeah, like Aquarius.
Yes.
Or Taurus.
Oh, Taurus.
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius tastes good with soy sauce.
Sagittarius.
Ah, rabbit.
Right. So, you can't be the rooster.
My name is Bang Lo Chu.
No, we need your name like Barry.
Oh, hold on. I missed.
Oh, yeah. Flung
that's right in.
Yeah, you have great pipes. That's what I want you to know. It's float. It's not throat. It's float on.
You know, girl, sometimes I sit in front of my television doing Kung Fu marathon.
Uh-huh.
And I get very hungry. Hungry for some rubbing.
Loving?
Oh, yes. Rubbing.
Yeah.
And nothing better than to make rub.
Right.
The Bang Cho Hu. The rooster.
Okay. Bang Cho? This is mostly in America. This is an American audience. So we need... You have 12 signs. You can choose from 12 signs.
Honey, I made a pearl necklace for you.
No.
It's still inside my body.
No.
I just need your neck. One moment, Adam.
It's Adam. Manage the band. We need you to pick a sign. You have 12. We have 12 months.
Yes, we do. But okay. In the Chinese calendar, there's 46 months.
I need you to abandon that for just a minute. Like, I don't want you to take like a year of the rat or anything.
I'm 5'1".
Right. We were going to stretch that out a lot.
96 pounds. I wear a size 6.5 shoe.
Okay. We're not interested in these kind of details. It's sexy talk. You understand?
I'm a rooster.
No.
Depending on the Chinese calendar.
Yeah. See, this is too wordy.
Some years, I'm the rabbit.
No. We need you to be like...
Or the bull.
An Aquarius, you know what I mean?
I will fuck you like a rooster.
You can't use that language. We're not going to get any AM spins.
They like it. I really like a brat girl. Big, fat brat girl.
No, they're black. And no, we're not... This is for all colors.
Oh, all colors, especially brat. Let me crime you.
No. Listen, Bong Choy... this is a horrible idea. All right. It's a great joke, Corey.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Show your daughters.
So.
Yeah, so there you go. There's Joe Coy doing the thing on the Adam Carolla show. Funny ass shit. He's been on there doing a bunch of different songs and shit. I'm gonna pull a couple of them, you know, in the next coming weeks or whatever. But that shit is funny as hell to me. Another thing I meant to mention last week, there's a dude, this fucking guy wrestles under Paul Lee, the Nature Boy, Paul Lee. He looks like a knockoff Robert Gibson and shit. Like this fucking guy, like a fat knockoff Robert Gibson. This fucking guy. He went to a comedy show. This shit's on YouTube and whatnot. He went to a comedy show and just started heckling. And I guess heckling while also letting know that he's a wrestler. Because, like, who the fuck needs to know what your job is when you're sitting there at a comedy show? Like, no one needs to fucking know, here's what I do. And so then, you know, the comedians start getting on him here and there because he's the fucking only asshole yelling that's sitting, you know, 5 feet from the stage. And he starts, and the dude, you know, did something like, sit down with your fake fighting or whatever, something like that. And this fucking guy walks on stage like he's some badass and shit, and knees the comedian in the dick. Like, I'm just like, what the fuck with this dude? And that shit just pissed me off because, I mean, if anyone should know, you know, the respect for, a performer, it should be a wrestler. Because they know that, you know, they could piss the fans off, they could say these different things, they could do whatever the heel stuff they want, and you don't need fucking fans jumping the guardrail and jumping in the ring and shit. I mean, obviously, you know, wrestlers are a little more welcoming to that, because for the most part, fans are going to get fucked up and thrown out of the building. But as a performance art, you can't just start saying, okay, well, here's what I expect to happen. Same thing goes with, you know, comedians. I mean, you tell jokes, you bash people, you know what I mean? A lot of times you tell jokes at other people's expense, and that's where it all comes from. So to be so unprofessional and try to put yourself over and come up on the stage and try to knee a dude in a day, I mean, it just... that dude needs to be just put completely out of the business. Like, other people that, you know, take the shit seriously and actually have some kind of respect for their business and, you know, want it portrayed in a way that it's not a joke. You know, a motherfucker is going to say something like it's fake. I can understand, you know, things that have happened in the past where people, you know, defended it. I understand those type of things. But to go in the direction where, you know, it's a comedy show. Like, there's nothing that needs to be defended there. That's ridiculous. And motherfuckers wouldn't even know you were a wrestler unless you put that shit out there to begin with. But, I mean, what I think makes wrestling look a lot worse than someone going, hey, fake fighting, I think if a motherfucker comes up on a stage, you know, and tries to assault a comedian and in kind of like a half-work way, too, it's not like he punched him in the face. He tried to, like, nonchalantly, like, knee him in the dick. Like, get the fuck out of here with that shit. Like, it just, it looks so unprofessional and horrible on wrestling. It's like, oh, you see what these dickheads are up to? Like, you can't even fucking make jokes. Like, it just, I don't know. It just looks like absolute shit. Another thing that looks like absolute shit, I meant to get this kid's name, but I forgot all about it until I was just talking about unprofessionalism, and then, there's another YouTube video out there, and there's two kids, and the one guy's got orange pants on, and they're working a match, and apparently the dude's leg was hurt or something like that. The one dude put him in like a sharpshooter type thing, and I guess that hurt the dude's leg or something. Well, he decided he was going to take liberties from there. And, you know, the dude gives him his arm for whatever arm submission the dude's going to do. And he's doing this botched-ass fucking trying to shoot submission him, but, like, fucking arms going all over the place. I mean, first off, the dude gave you his arm, so you putting some kind of hold on the dude isn't exactly impressive because he fucking gave you his arm, stupid. Second off, if you're going to lock somebody in some shit and really fucking torque their arm, then their arm shouldn't be, and without the dude even struggling, you know, the elbow shouldn't be bending this way and that because, like, you're supposed to really have that shit locked on, right? Like, he's not struggling to move his arm around like that. Like, you don't even know what fucking direction to go with the shit. So I'm not saying, yeah, you should have put a better legit submission on him, but for a dude who's such a badass shooter and this and that, like, this dude can't even apply that motherfucker. So he's doing this, and he's hurting this fucking dude's arm, and I personally think the ref should have stopped that shit or called somebody in there to get this fucking dude out of there and just called the match at that, because, you know, I mean, there's certain liberties and shit that are taken in matches at times, but at least it still looks professional. This shit just looked awkward. You had another guy that was just standing on the outside, like, staring in the ring, fucking weird, and then another chick on the apron. And everybody's just kind of watching this shit go down, and I can't imagine how the fans were feeling either because it just looked awkward. And nothing looked professional about it. It didn't look like shit that people would be doing in a match. Like, the dude was just fucking, like, yelling at him, like, you're going to hurt my leg, and fucking trying to hurt this fucking guy's arm. And I'm sure he hurt his arm pretty good, but, like, you know, if he'd be dangerous if he knew what the fuck he was doing because he really would have hurt the guy. But, yeah, and then, like, he's kicking the guy in the head afterwards and shit like this, and, you know, just ridiculous, just completely fucking ridiculous and uncalled for. And I know Chrissy Rivera over there, she had posted on her wall, and, you know, a bunch of people were just jumping all over this dude because, you know, of course, the guy's unprofessional, he doesn't belong in fucking business acting like that. And apparently, like, there was a dude on there that was, like, his fucking friend or something, so he started defending him and all this bullshit. But beyond that, you know, Chrissy's like, yo, let this motherfucker come work in CZW. And I never really looked too far into it, but they said he actually did work in CZW under a different name. And they put the name they put, shit, I forget what the name is. I know this is completely retarded on my end to not know half of what I'm talking about, but kind of how I do. apparently he worked up, but I had watched enough CZW that I could almost guarantee you this dude was not, he didn't run in there long. He didn't work in CZW long at all because I had attended for well over 10 years on a straight basis. So I would have remembered the dude if he was consistent enough, and I just don't know, but that dude is fucking pathetic. He's another dude to be completely just put out of the business by somebody who gives a fuck about it. So that's that. What else? Oh, Extreme Reunion. Apparently, they canceled another show this past weekend, and it was because I think the ECW, CZW, New Alhambra, Viking Hall, fucking whatever you want to call it, that shit wasn't ready. Something was fucked up with it. It wasn't ready, whatever. So they couldn't do it there. And so they called it, but obviously had a bunch of talent that was, you know, flying in and stuff. Luke Hawk's one of them. And, you know, wasn't really a lot they could do. And I guess, you know, in effort to make good on it, ECWA actually helped them out too, who, you know, in the past, I've had nothing but bad stuff to say about them, but I can't help but, you know, give these guys credit for what it is because, you know, that is very honorable what they did. Number one, you know, on a side note, you know, I had a problem with them partially stemming from, you know, my late friend, you know, Kimberly, who she had attended some of their shows. Some of the guys treated her like shit and, you know, had a bunch of, like, bashing and this and that to say about her online. And, you know, she was pretty vocal about that. You know, she didn't like a lot of their product. She supported them. She felt she was entitled to an opinion. And, you know, some of them just buried her and tried to treat her like shit and this and that. But I find it extremely honorable and awesome that they actually gave her, you know, a 10-bell salute at the beginning of the show. You know, they let her family know about it and stuff, and her sister, I think, and some others maybe, you know, went in there and, you know, went to the show to, you know, pay respects or whatever, and yeah, they did a 10-bell salute for her, and I think that's awesome. Beyond that, they honored all the Extreme Reunion as completely, you know, hey, you could get in for free with the tickets to that show. And they booked Luke Hawks. Luke Hawks actually won the Extreme Reunion title or whatever they call it. So yeah, it's fucking, you know, pretty good stuff. And, you know, Extreme Reunion, they got the, free entry to that show. And then if you had the tickets, when they do the, comeback, the reunion show or whatever you want to call it, tickets are honored there too. So technically, I mean, you can end up getting two shows for the price of one because of, you know, something that normally would be a negative and, hey, the building's not ready, can't run the show. It's not like, oh, okay, you guys are all beat. Yeah, you guys could go and, you know, attend this show. And then when we have our, you know, our makeup show, you can go attend that too. So I think that's pretty awesome right there. And like I said, congrats to Luke Hawks winning the belt. And I'll, you know, talk to him about that next week as well. Trying to think if there's anything else I got. Like I said, I bought the South Park game. I think that shit's hilarious. If you like the South Park show, the game was supposed to come out like a long time ago, like fucking, I want to say a year, 2 years ago. And THQ is the ones who were going to put it out, and then THQ went kind of belly up. So when that was on the table of two come out games or two finish being, you know, produced and then released, that shit just got shelved. And then it had to be bought out by whoever else. And, yeah, fucking solid game. I think it's hilarious. I only, you know, played it for half hour, 40 minutes tops. And, yeah, it was fucking cracking up. That shit's hilarious. So there's that. Let me see. Actually, I forgot all about that show. CZW is having their show on Saturday. I'm not, you know, I'm not really thrilled with the card. Obviously, you know, as a CZW fan, you know, diehard, I will be reviewing the show next week, either way. And, you know, I'll have Luke on next week. I'll review this show next week. I should have another, fun interview, package that I'm putting together here. And, you know, I'm going to do a bunch of those things. I'm going to, you know, continue to get them done as quick as I can. Well, you know, as well as I can, I should say, but as often as well. I got a lot of good response from the DJ
Eddie Kingston one I did, and I couldn't be happier with that. Like, much respect out there to everybody who listened to it and enjoyed it and all that, because I have known nothing about editing at all, ever. You know what I mean? So I got in this program from my dude, you know, Anthony Missionary Thomas over there, steered me in the right direction, dude from the Wrestling Soup. And, you know, I just got to messing with it. And I, you know, play with it a little bit here and there. And then I got that idea when, you know, I heard both of the shoots. And I was like, you know, it'd be funny if this was actual banter back and forth rather than, you know, just this guy over here talking to this guy, this guy talking to... So I said, you know what, let me see what I could do with this. And as I'm doing it, it was just coming out better and better. And I was just like, this is fucking fun. So I'm going to, you know, anyone, you know, got any random ideas you want to throw me or whatever. But, I, you know, I got a few of my own, and I'm going to play with it a lot more, different ideas. And, you know, one coming up, I probably have it ready for next week. So that one should be pretty funny. And, you know, just keep doing what I can with them. So anyway, the CZW show will have the debut of Timothy Thatcher. Danny Havoc will address the Combat Zone. Those are obviously not matches, but, you know, it'll lead to some. Timothy Thatcher, I hear he's good. I haven't seen any of his work. Alexander James will fight Caleb Conley. In a singles match, Black Keys will fight CZW owner DJ Hyde. Joe Gacy will fight Tommy Dreamer. I don't like this fucking card. I just don't like this card. I don't like Alexander James that much. I don't think he's a great worker. I really don't. I haven't seen anything of his that I really liked. And now they're using the junior title that I have a lot of respect for is more or less a joke to try to push him, which is fucking ridiculous. And Caleb Conley's legit, so to have him up against him, I think that's a complete waste of talent. And you know, Alexander James could always, you know, improve and become something that's impressive. I mean, I'm not, you know, writing the guy off saying there's never going to be anything good that happens with him, but what I've seen up until this point and then what they're doing with him, I think is a huge, huge rub for, to me, someone who definitely didn't earn it. I don't think that there's anything that guy is doing right now that's going to set any worlds on fire. So it's insane to me. And I really thought that they should have, I continually think that the junior title should have definitely always been something. If they wanted to, especially if they wanted to, I don't want to hear that weight class bullshit, because it never had any strict parameters when it came down to it, even back in the day, you know, with Ruckus and all that. And they would play their, you know, their angles with it with someone or bring out a scale and you can't, oh, no, you're over the weight limit. You can't do it and all that stuff. So whatever. I mean, don't take fucking independent wrestling that literal where you're like, well, that guy doesn't weigh that. So why do we even have this belt? Like, come on, man. Anyway, so. I always thought that the junior title should have came back in a way where somebody who was, you know, a face won that Wired title and said, you know what, fuck that. You know, the history of the junior title, if anything's going to happen, I want to bring the junior title back and this and that, and then bring it back, and then maybe even have, you know, the heel part of that feud spark up and say, no, dude, don't try to push this Wired title to the side. That's what I'm all about and this and that. And then, you know, end up having the titles go two ways and then you can have more titles. I know that they don't want more titles. They think, oh, a whole card full of title matches, that doesn't, you know, it doesn't work. I get it to a certain extent, but if you're going to drop one, I would drop the one that doesn't really mean shit, meaning the Wired title. And especially now that it's just like a I don't know what the fuck title, where, you know, Matt Tremont and Devin Moore try to have a legit wrestling match. And that title means dick now. If that's all you're going to do with it is just put on some kind of undirectional match with it, then that title means fucking dick. So you might as well bury that with the other ones that did mean shit.
And then just have your fucking world title and tag titles and then fucking whatever. I can't find a rhyme or reason to it. Even with DJ explaining it on my show, it makes fucking zero sense. Because just going, well, they don't weigh, you know, the world champions, they aren't technically heavyweights either. Like, dude, fucking Jesus Christ. Anyway, G's and DJ, this is going to be the first of several matches. They're not going to do any kind of blow-up. The feud just started. So I'd like to see where this match goes, but usually when it's the first of, you know, the meetings of what seems to be like a building feud, there's only so much going to be done. I mean, it's almost a definite tease in the making. Gacy versus Tommy Dreamer. I couldn't hate this fucking anymore. Number one, Gacy has been doing great fucking things with cruiserweights, with junior heavyweights, whatever you want to call it. And as I said, I thought the best idea possible out there was like Lucky, a feud with Lucky or one of those type of guys. And his match with Shane Strickland was great. And he was able to do some, you know, impressive stuff. I thought his matches with Tremont were fucking horrendous. So now you're going to put him in there with a big fucking guy like Tommy Dreamer, who Joe Gacy cannot manhandle, who Joe Gacy's... If Joe Gacy's offense is limited to brawling and then some kind of flippy shit that is kind of out of, you know, out of the ordinary, it's just going to look fucking weird against Tommy Dreamer. And then when you had Tommy Dreamer up against Tremont, and according to DJ Odd Shoot interview, that's what he based Matt Tremont's fucking future on, and said we had a shit match with Tommy Dreamer, and that's Tommy Dreamer, for Christ's sakes. And, oh, he's so green, we couldn't do much after that. It's like, and then, in his opinion, demoted him, but by demoting him, put him in a feud with Joe Gacy, who he expected to elevate Joe Gacy, even though he said that he was green and a Dreamer match and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, all of those statements never made sense because you put them up against each other and they're like, wait, that couldn't exist if this exists. And what the fuck is he even talking about? But that's, you know, that's DJ for you. But so now, going full circle, now Joe Gacy is getting a fucking match against Dreamer. So now if this match doesn't come off fucking stellar, oh, fucking Joe Gacy, goddamn, he's fucking off because Dreamer. No one wants to see Tommy Dreamer wrestle anymore. I hate to fucking break the news to you, but no one wants to see fucking Tommy Dreamer wrestle. If they do, it's the same people you could wave fucking Balls Mahoney around in front of, and they'll pop for that dumb shit, too. Anybody who's a fucking still a diehard ECW fucking, I need ECW back, that was fucking 15 years ago. Like, cut it out. This shit is retarded. And seriously, you're going to try to build future stars through fucking Tommy Dreamer matches? Like, what the fuck kind of shit is this? And I just, okay, so he's going to get the fucking ECW chance. And then he's going to go, no, 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 the CZW. And then they do the CZW chance. And then he's going to, at some point, he's going to go for the DVD. And then he's going to hit that spot in the corner where he puts the chair in front of the guy's face and then he runs and does the drop kick. This shit is fucking played out. Shit is over, man. Cut it out with the Tommy Dreamer shit. And then the fucking guy, they bust him down where fucking Drew beat him. And he went in the back and like pouted and, you know, it's like I can't even keep up with guys anymore. Then he kind of went away for a while. Then he started walking back into the ring recently and just, like, acting as if he had some position in the company, which, hey, he might. The fucking fans don't know that as far as the storyline goes. Yeah, okay, yeah, so anyway, we're going to do this match, and then anyway, we should do this. And then DJ comes out, I'm the boss, who the fuck are you? And the next thing you know, fucking, he's wrestling Joe Gacy. Show me how the fuck this all works. I don't see the fucking numbers on the connected dots picture that you're trying to paint here. I don't see the fucking numbers. I don't know how I'm supposed to connect the dots and make a fucking picture out of this shit. Shit's crazy. Anyway, so there's that match that I don't give a fuck about. And a quick fucking downgrade for Joe Gacy for a month, because I don't give a fuck.
the way that he's working and the way that Joe Gacy is actually getting himself over, at least in my mind, is up against those lighter dudes. So Shane Strickland, plus for Joe Gacy and a plus for what he's doing. Tommy Dreamer, a step down. And I know that sounds fucking crazy saying that Dreamer's a step down from Shane Strickland, but what's going to work for Joe Gacy in the ring and what's going to continue to build him at his strengths is not up against a fucking dude bigger than him that he can't pick up. It's not. It's fucking not. Or maybe you could pick him up. Maybe you could do some suplex stuff, but nowhere near the level of stuff. So then, okay, then you got fucking singles match, Masada versus Mr. Tofiga. Fuck out of here. I mean, what the fuck is going to happen in that match that I give a shit about? What, is he going to fucking stab his head a bunch and make him bleed? Oh, and by the way, just point out again, Christina Von Eerie's still gone. So apparently that was a fucking breakup of two guys, and they can't fucking coexist in there. And I think that's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So they're pushing the shit out of her. They're pushing the shit out of him. They break up, and now they can't be in the same fucking locker room together. Fucking amateur. So that's some crazy shit. You want to break up them fucking teaming together, let them go separate ways. Yeah, they've clean broken before, and it doesn't look great if they don't, like, feud coming out of it or anything like that, but you can still break off and just fucking act like it didn't happen and at least have the same talent in the ring. To just completely just pull people off the roster and shit because, you know, someone's relationship didn't break out of the nuts. Juicy Product and Alex Colon and a member of the front versus OI4K, Azriel, and Chris Dickinson. Like I said, doesn't make any fucking sense. You got a bunch of faces over here, a bunch of faces over there, and I'm guessing Juicy Product is heel. So you can at least call that team heel. But to say that Azriel is a face is crazy because he did the whole heel shit where, you know, the fans were chanting one more time and he flipped them off and fucking did the heel move. So coming out of a split between, you know, Alex Colon and Azriel, he didn't walk out of that match like a face. He still walked out of like a fuck you heel. So now teamed up with a bunch of faces, fuck, I don't know. Again, I don't really get it. Bunch of talent in the match. Match might be great, but just booking-wise, looks crazy. Greg Excellent versus Pepper Parks for Cherry Bomb. Don't give a shit. I don't like Pepper Parks. He does nothing for me. I expect Pepper Parks to win that shit, so get a Cherry Bomb back, and then maybe they exit. I don't know what the fuck happens. But Beaver Boys versus The Front for the tag titles. I don't know. All right. I'm guessing that's going to be Biff Busick and Niles. But then they had, I think, Niles and, what, Ace Delic, who won the match last month. So maybe it's going to be them. Well, that'll be entertaining. And then you have Drew Gulak versus AR Fox, world title. World heavyweight title, because clearly they're not heavyweights, so we can't really say heavy. Oh, yeah, but it's still the heavyweight title. Fuck out of here again. And so anyway, that's Saturday. If you want to get that, czwippv.com. And then, or go to Voorhees and whatnot. Like I said, I'll be going back there next month for Best of the Best. And that's what's up. And I think that's about all I got. Oh, definitely check out Wrestling Soup returning next Thursday. They actually did a little test show on Tuesday. Good to hear those dudes back. For sure, back to doing their thing. And they needed a little break. They took about 2 months off. Now they're back. And I'm glad because there is such a lack of actually entertaining fucking wrestling podcasts out there. And I really don't do this type of thing in order to just bash people to bash people because I don't give a fuck. Like, I listen to other podcasts too, so it's not like I'm biased towards I don't listen to my own shit. Like, here and there I'll check to see how something sounded or how something came off, but I really, you know, get into listening to myself talk, so it's not like that. I need my own entertainment too, so I try to find other shit as well. But I find so many of them that just
fucking dorks. It just World of Warcraft, fucking Comic-Con nerd motherfuckers, man. Like, not an athlete in the bunch. Not that you really need to be an athlete to do a podcast. I guess I'm kind of, you know, the oddity as far as that type of thing goes. And it doesn't matter. An opinion is an opinion. It's not like my opinion's better because I'm athletic. I don't know. I just a certain way that I view these people, though. Like, CZW's website puts over Powerbomb Radio. I went on their thing. They got a little YouTube clip, and these nerds are jumping all over the camera and shit. There's not like a dude in the group that I would fucking hang out with. That's kind of the way I view a lot of that shit. It's just like, would I ever fucking sit 5 minutes around one of these motherfuckers, like, in my leisurely time, like, without being forced to, or like, having to do it for anything? Like, would I actually hang with any of these motherfuckers? And I go, hell no. So that's a lot of times what I gauge what I'm, you know, listening to. That fuck Shining Wizards, same bullshit. Dorks. Fucking Hell in a Cell, dorks. Fucking Mike and Tom, dorks. Fucking can't stand these fucking shows. They're horrible. And, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, I've been polite for a long fucking time, but it is what it is. Fucking my ex-fucking co-host does the absolute worst podcast on the fucking internet. And I'm going to just leave it at that. Absolute fucking worst podcast on the entire fucking internet. You could search up and down, and you're not going to find one worse. I mean, there's just so much wrong with it. I'm not even going to get into it, but it's the fucking God's honest truth. I like the dude. He's a nice guy. But holy shit, is that fucking thing horrendous. So that's that. Check out my dudes over there at Wrestling Soup. Definitely also check out the Sports Den. I think they should still be on live right now doing their thing. So check them out. And check me out next Wednesday. I'll have Luke Hawks on. I'll also be reviewing this CZW show. And hopefully it fucking proves me wrong on all accounts and has a fucking great show, because I am going to fucking end up watching it. So I don't want to just fucking sit through a bunch of bullshit, as I feel half the fucking card's going to be. So please prove me wrong, CZW. Do the fucking thing, and just, yeah, unexpect the expected, or whatever the fuck you guys. You know, that's what's up. So check me out then. I think what I'm going to close the show with now, because I don't want to play the longer one. I was going to play the Jim Florentine one that's like a half hour. But then I got to sit here and then hit fucking stop on it afterwards. I'm going to play the other Teddy Pendergrass joint. It's a 15-minute joint, so still pretty long. Close the show out with that, and I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Hope you enjoy this little short show. It is what it is. Actually, not too bad as far as length. But, yeah, check it all out, and hit you up next week. Peace.
Well, we have a few songs for you, Teddy.
What?
Yeah.
Let's not blow our shoot our nut. In
no,
the,
it's getting close.
Okay,
it's getting
we
close.
Shoot that nut.
Yes, it's
now,
nut time.
Teddy,
hold on, Frank Teresa. What did you say?
Now Teddy, people need to know that Teddy Pendergrass died trying to take off his loafer in like 1996. He was, he had a back spasm, and that's where they found him.
I know.
May he rest in peace.
How did he pass?
He had some kind of disease. I forget what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
he you know, survived the horrific crash we discussed.
Right, he had a horrible crash.
My last visit.
Mm-hmm.
And he got some cancer,
and,
colon
and what,
cancer.
And when did he die? Do you know how long it's been?
No, I don't know, man. I'm
he
not
was
a fucking
great.
Expert.
He was a great, he was a soulful man
he
and a passionate
a lot of,
man. A
lot of passion, almost as much as
a lot
as
of
me.
Passion. Can we hear some of Teddy's, can we hear just a little bit? Oh, 2010, so he's
yeah, he
barely
died.
Still warm. Can we hear a little Close the Door, for instance? You can get a little you can get a little taste of his passion.
Well, turn it up, Teddy Bear, baby.
Woo!
This goes out to you, Alex.
Oh, my real name.
I got so much love, and I wanna just spread it all up on you with my fingers, baby. Close the door. That's right, you ain't going home no more. Cause I'm about to bust out the back wall of your uterus, baby, with this big black knobby uncircumcised. Pipe I'm slinging, mama. I wanna take them big old titties you got and tie them in a nice new granny knot. Then I'm gonna dick slap them motherfuckers with my dick me, baby.
But you're over.
That's how much I love you, baby.
Yes,
That's how much I love you, baby.
He's so
And then I'm gonna
so passionate. Such a passionate sofa, man. But,
thank you.
Then we started thinking, you know, Teddy obviously had an early career. You know, you don't start off selling millions of copies of records and everything going platinum. There's probably a point in the late 60s, early 70s when he was probably doing some session work.
He was doing doo-wop. He was doing, you know,
and doing some studio work.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, you've seen, I don't know if you've seen the documentary on the Wrecking Crew and the other studio musicians, but they bring the best
Explain
in.
Explain what the Wrecking Crew was.
They bring great studio musicians into A&M Records. They'd come in. They'd have the Monkees and all that kind of stuff, but Mamas and the Papas and all that stuff, but they wouldn't be playing. It would be these guys playing, and they probably, they had guys like Glenn Campbell.
Yes.
Who are in the Wrecking Crew. Now,
wonderful talent.
Glenn Campbell's went on to become a solo legend, but back in the day, he was a studio musician. There's probably many other greats.
Well, it was before these damn computers took over everything, right, guys?
Right, right.
Real musicians. Mm-hmm. They're not really with me. They're not
and
really with me.
We're thinking if Teddy Pendergrass, I'm sure, did some session work and some studio work back in the day, a little backing vocals.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I thought it might be fun if he just did a little backing vocals on, like, Cher's song, All I Really Want to Do, you know. So I'll be the engineer. Let's take it from the top. Here we go. 2, 3, 4.
Well, hold on. Before we start, you just want some... What do you want me to do? You
know? Teddy, backing vocals, harmonizing. You have such sweet, soulful voice.
Who's an Oz?
Yeah.
You don't want it dirty.
No, just sweet, soulful backing.
Right, go.
Cher's going to sing the lead. We have the Wrecking Crew over here, and we just need some back. We need to fill up the room a little bit.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. 2, 3, 4. Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to
go nuts deep on you, baby.
Let's choke
on this big black python of a
Teddy
and a condom.
Let's go ahead and stop the tape for a second. We like what you're doing.
Dick mother.
No. At the beginning.
Okay.
We liked a lot what you're doing a lot at the beginning. You know, it was pretty soulful. Yeah.
Right,
you're harmonizing nicely with
Cher. Can we do it again?
She's like a D minor or something like that.
We'll pick it up.
You just kind of Cher singing the song.
It's her thing.
You know,
man.
It's her thing.
Can I tell you one thing?
Hmm.
Beautiful woman.
Beautiful woman. Yeah. And I'm sure you'd like to, a lot of things you'd like to do to Cher. But but what we need from you right now, Teddy, just kind of hang back, harmonize, feel it. Just sort of fill in the gaps there sonically. Let's just pick it up from where we left off. We could. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I ain't looking to compete with you.
With you.
Beat or cheat, I mistreat you. Simplify you, classify you.
And then I will reroute your butt canal, baby. With this jackhammer USDA steel motherfucking cock out of pounding, baby. Beat that pussy till it's black and blue. Oh!
Okay, let's pause it. Let's pause it there. Let's pause it there. Let's pause it for Teddy. Yeah, Ted. Yeah, Teddy, obviously you got pipes. You got pipes. I mean, there's no... Yeah, you got talent. You got talent. But I'm just saying, and what you're doing at the top there, yeah. That's what I like that. And then at a certain point, I just felt like you're kind of, free-forming a little
bit. My bad.
But we have it. We have the lyrics written down.
My bad.
And the song's done. We're executing the song that has been written. What I'm saying?
All right.
Okay, so if we...
Can I get one more shot?
Well, we could take it from where we left off.
I don't want to waste your time.
Yeah, no. Yeah, again, I think I called you into the session because I knew you were touched by God,
Okay.
Okay.
I got it now.
Let's just pick it up from where we left off.
Less is more.
Yeah, less is more. Less is more. Right, less. Yeah, that's good.
Cheat, I mistreat
you.
Sympathize you, classify you.
And I will. Get you a whole new asshole mama with this motherfucking USDA 20 pounds of sledgehammer dick. I'm about to rip out your.
Let's try to stop that.
Pick up your sandwich with the dickhead, baby. Oh! Get all up in that uterus. Feet first in your...
Teddy.
I'm about to...
This song's about...
Okay. Can I just... Would Teddy, you let me...
Teddy.
Finger paint with my dick juice on your forehead. Oh! Bury my face down between your thighs.
All right, Teddy.
Skeet. Skeet all between your eyes.
All right, Teddy, we just... Okay, hold on a second, Teddy. We're not rolling. Teddy, we stopped. Teddy, we stopped.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Teddy,
I think we got it. I think we got it.
Teddy, we went ahead and stopped the tape there. No, I understand you're a passionate man, and I can feel it coming out.
Baby.
No, I feel it coming out through your soulful singing. And I'm thinking this song's about someone being friends with another person. Just hanging out. You know what I mean? They're not trying to bring you down. We just want to hang out. What I mean? Not about taking them to the bedroom. It's not about making love to them. It's just about getting to know them as a human being.
I'm on the wrong page, but I'm on the right page now.
Okay, what you're saying is this isn't a sexy song about taking a gal home. This is about friendship. This is about companionship. Okay?
Friendship.
Let's just pick it up from where we left off, if we could.
Chain you down, I'll bring you down.
Down.
All I really wanna do
is hold hands while you jerk me off with your feet, and I skitty, while you beat for me. Oh, I love you, I love you. I wanna fuck the fuck out your behind, baby. Oh,
hold on,
I
sir,
just wanna
Bob,
bite
your
titties
it,
with my teeth, and then I'm gonna.
Hold on, Teddy.
And
yeah, no, hold on.
I just wanna hold hands with you.
No, I tell you, Ted. Ted, you can't threaten you can't say I'm going to fuck the farts out of you, I want to hold hands with you.
Did I say that?
You said you wanted to fuck the farts out of her.
I get taken over, man.
You can't threaten to box your titties and then hold hands.
I get taken over.
But you said you could hold hands.
Can I ask you one question?
And then you said she could jack you off with her feet, which is not... what we're what
that's
the song is about.
That's holding. Let me ask.
Let
you
me ask. Well,
how
let me just say,
juice?
Bob, can we just
the
skip ahead to the San Francisco song?
All right.
This is Scott McKenzie song. Teddy, I just don't feel like you're feeling this one, and that's okay. That's all right.
I'm here for you.
That's all right. This song's a little more for you. This is about San Francisco. This is about going to San Francisco.
Okay.
This is about a kind of groovy vibe, you know what I mean? See if you can feel
this. Where do you want me to come in?
Then we'll just think about, you know, late 60s. That's right. Kate Ashbury. A lot of flower people. Just holding hands. Just grooving on the scene. Grooving on nature.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, listen to this line.
A big black nabby dick I got for you, baby. If I could fuck the whole city, dick slap the entire Merritt County, baby. Oh,
go ahead, hold that there, Bob. Okay.
I would just teabag this motherfucker.
I love it.
Teddy,
I love it.
This is
the whole city.
Teddy, this is a love letter to San Francisco. You understand?
Okay.
This is about they have gentle people there. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
This is not being anally violated at all.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
This is about good vibes. Good people.
Let me try one.
Hanging
more
out in the city by the bay.
I got it.
Finding some gentle people.
I got it. Can we do one
there.
More? One more
we can try it one more time if you want to just kind of feel the vibe there.
Mm-hmm. In the streets of San Francisco.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Gentle people.
What is this? City's beautiful. Uh-oh. It went to the bridge.
Come on.
Ooh, people motion.
And then I would like to hop on the whole city, baby. Oh, oh, oh. If I could just.
Ooh, something pop.
I would like to fuck the entire city, the whole Bay Area, with my snobby, crook-ended snicker bottle.
All right, Bob, let's go ahead and stop there. Let's break.
I got,
you know what?
I would like to.
Let's break for lunch. Let's break for lunch. Teddy, let's grab a sandwich and we'll just talk in the commissary if that's cool.
You know, I wrote a song.
Oh, you wrote a song.
I'll sing it to you at lunch.
Okay, all right. Teddy Pendergrass, everybody, the great, the late.
The Cat in the House. Cat in the House. Let's get to the Cat in the House.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
Because these motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, I'm a nigga.
What the fuck? But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.